423-3120. Be sure to follow them on social media, especially Instagram. I love your guys' stories and all. They do such a great job on those. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, Katrina.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin this hour with another huge round of layoffs in the tech industry. Correspondent Jim Krasula has our top story.
Microsoft is eliminating 10,000 jobs, nearly 5% of its worldwide workforce. The company is blaming an economic slowdown. Microsoft cut jobs twice last year. The company is making changes designed to save more than $1 billion.
Amazon says Salesforce and Facebook's parent company, Meta, have also made cutbacks. Americans cut back on spending as they finished up the holiday shopping season. Retail sales fell a greater than expected 1.1% in December. Bankrate's Ted Rossman.
It's been a tough time for sellers of clothes and electronics and furniture and other physical items. The supply chains actually healed to the extent that a lot of them have too much inventory and are having to offer larger discounts.
Six Ukrainian government officials, including the country's interior ministry, were killed when their helicopter crashed near a kindergarten in a suburb of Kyiv today. At least three children are among the dead. This woman lives in Brovary.
We heard an explosion and we just ran out. My daughter ran to get the granddaughter. She goes to the nursery. We took her. Everything was on fire over there. The cars near the building were on fire.
11 children are among 24 people injured. An investigation into the cause underway. A man police suspect of murdering his missing wife in the suburbs of Boston has just made a court appearance.
Not guilty. Please will be entered.
Do you understand those charges, Mr. Walsh?
Prosecutors say Brian Walsh went online to look up ways to dismember and dispose of a body. They say clothing and other items that belonged to Anna Walsh were found in a trash processing facility. Researchers in San Diego say they've been able to slow down the aging process in mice, extending lifespans, reducing frailty, and boosting heart and lung health. More from CBS's Vicky Barker.
The study's been released on a science website but hasn't yet been peer-reviewed. Experts who weren't involved in the research are calling it a potential world first, the first time the aging process has been reversed in an entire animal, not just in individual cells.
Meet the new batch of inductees into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Gloria Estefan is the first Hispanic woman chosen. Sade, born in Nigeria, also entering the hall. And there's a rap star among the class of 2023.
What's my name?
Dow up 40. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
If you're a business owner, imagine getting up to $26,000 per employee. There's still time to file for the Employee Retention Tax Credit Program. This program is for business owners who continue to pay their W-2 employees during the COVID pandemic. All business types and industries may qualify. You can claim the credit even if you received a PPP loan. The licensed CPAs and tax professionals at DH Tax and Consulting have been serving business owners across the country for over 15 years. Call us now at 833-ERC-FILE. That's 833-ERC-FILE.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacist for restrictions and exclusions.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. 33 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. 33 tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 18th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Looking forward to catching up with her. Right now, looking forward to catching up with our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James.
Good to see you. How you been?
I'm well, thank you. How you been?
I'm doing good. We want to send a big shout-out to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Hello to them. Encourage you to type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up to date with all the great things they got going on over there. How has the start of the new year been for you, sir?
It's been good.
Yeah,
eventful.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I like that
of,
you thought about it. I like that you thought about it first.
That's it's kind of our quiet time of the year in the sense of, you know, at least at City Hall. But, you know, our road construction or our street department's busy with snow and all those kind of things usually.
Yeah.
So knock on wood.
Yes.
But tomorrow it should be coming back apparently. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to get to that with you. But before we go too far into 23, I do want to review a little bit of 2022. And I actually want to specifically talk about the year in construction, the year in orange cones. This past year, every summer, and we understand how this works in the Midwest, we only got so many months we can work on these roads before Mother Nature comes in and covers them. So we got to get work done. And I think every summer is pretty busy when it comes to construction. This year, a little bit, I don't know if it was more busy or more projects were being done, but it certainly felt like it was.
Yeah, this year Jackson Street was done, but that was not our project. It was a state project, so that was all for bid. So we did a little work there, but a bulk of that work was done by a contractor. So, you know, it made us look a little busier. And then right out down the road here, you know, we're doing a levee project and redoing some railings. So there's a little more visibility. And so there was a few more projects going on.
How did the timing of those go? I know, you know, you give these projects a kind of wiggle, a little bit of wiggle room there, saying that we'd like it to end here, but, you know, we understand the construction and the weather. You get a rainy day, you can't get out there. How were they timing-wise? Did they work out pretty well that way?
Yeah, we've got, Bob and the construction crew, they do a fantastic job, and they're very experienced, and which really helps a lot. But I think up on 9th Avenue, it was decided to stop that project at a point because they didn't think they would get done in time. So it just made sense to be cautious, stop, instead of having people have an open road and kind of a mess all winter long. They ran into some rock there, so and they had to take more time to try to get we want the pipes at a certain depth so you can avoid the freezing cycle, and you know, once freezing happens, then you have water main breaks, and so they like to get to a certain depth and then we're good to go. So that project was paused until spring, and then they'll pick up from there when they take off again. And it was a good idea. We talked about it, and you know, I concurred with them that it was a good time to stop.
Yeah, anybody who's worked on a construction project has been experienced something like that before, you know, especially with land, with the ground. And way back, I remember back in when nowadays they've got a lot more equipment that can do a lot of these things. But back in the early days, for me with construction, it was kind of like, all right, nope, not here. Okay, we're good. Yeah. We can go. It was just kind of like feeling it out and figuring it out from there.
Exactly.
So how about 2023 construction-wise? Is the planning starting to begin there? Has that already begun? Are there you mentioned the project there. Is that something that we're going to be coming back to in 23?
So, yeah, we'll pick up there in 2023. A big project this year is Oak Street, pretty much from Jackson all the way to 16th. So that's a very long road for us to do. So that will take up a bulk of the construction season. There are some other projects on that list, and they've seemed to escape me at the moment. But but so most of the plans are done for that, and they're starting to look at ordering materials. I know, like, not 2023, but 2024, Lincoln Street is going to be a big, you know, a project that's long overdue.
Really?
If you've ever ridden on Lincoln Street from the expressway down to Grand Avenue, it's not the smoothest ride. And so they're already designing and working on that project and, you know, doing surveying and have been doing surveying there. So they're kind of starting to think about 2024 also. at this point. Nice. And so, yeah, they're doing a good job there. And I guess plans are pretty close to near done at 90%, and nice, which is good. So we should hit the ground running.
Budget-wise, things staying on pace too?
Yes. Yep. You know, cost of materials are kind of always that question, because when you really don't know the cost until you buy them. We're even finding that with buying heavy equipment or trucks and dump trucks, they might be 2 years out before you get them. You order them now, you won't get them for 2 years. So it doesn't really work good in government budgeting when you're buying something now, you're not going to see it for a couple of years. And that becomes a struggle on how to handle that. Or even what we're learning is even trying to get pricing. They won't give you pricing until they go to manufacture it. So you might approve to buy a piece of equipment, and you really don't know what you're paying for until maybe 6 months later. Because once it goes into production, then you kind of get a price then.
Yeah.
Things are kind of different right now.
Especially when so much comes down to budgeting. It's such a big part of your job, the people that work with you at the City Hall and everything. Everything is starts and ends with a budget.
Yeah, and we go to take it through the process through the finance committee and to the council for their approval, but you're really not getting it for a while. You're trying to approve something that might be a certain it's kind of a mess now.
Well, it's interesting because every representative we've had on, I've wondered this. Katrina Shankly was joining us last week, but the week before that, I had Scott and Representative Krug. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to both of them and about these things. And then I realized, like, so much of that job, your job, their jobs, all these things, political jobs in general, it's faith. It is such a hope kind of thing, where I expect, I hope these things will happen, but there are no guarantees. And that's a tough thing. That's kind of a tough position to be in. And as citizens, I don't think we look at it that way often. It's usually, I want, gimme, what have you done for me lately? A lot of that stuff. When the job is not built that way, like if you're doing the job right, you can't just snap your fingers and everything gets done. That's a dictatorship. That's a whole different ball game.
And when you're trying to be responsible for the dollars and trying to, you know, weigh the needs versus the wants, and if you don't know what things cost, for me, it's very uncomfortable, because I would like to know, like, hey, we're committing to buy this at this price. Mm-hmm. I don't want to commit to buy something for an unknown price in the future. You know, it just does not. To me, that is very uncomfortable.
It is the way we got to maneuver right now, though.
Right. Yep.
One of the big things coming up right now is tree removal. I love that. So I wanted to touch on that really quick. We have tree removal dates coming up, I believe.
Oh, the Christmas tree days.
Christmas tree days, yes.
I just had it up the other day looking for somebody to. But it is coming up.
Yeah, and I know.
Maybe it's this week even, or is it next week?
Let me double check, because my computer is not working for me. I had it up. Tree removal is January 23rd through the 27th.
So that's this week.
That's going on. So trees must have all decorations and all lights removed.
Correct.
Wanted to remind people, one of the better ways to do this, if you're bringing the tree down there, the stump kind of towards the street.
Correct.
That's one thing. Yep. I don't know if there's any other things, any other tips, any other things we should be mentioning to people. If you can wrap them, it's always very good to do, you know, some twine, some rope, whatever you can do.
Easily accessible. Don't stick it in the high snowbank in your yard and kind of have a tree in the yard, because you don't want them to have to go fetch it. So, making it easily accessible so they're not at least right now, we don't have to crawl over too many snowbanks, but, you know, making it accessible and easy for them to get it. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, and and plus, if you want the tree actually removed, doing these things is going to make it more likely that it will actually happen and everything.
And it's more efficient. They can get it done quicker and move on to other things too. So
right. We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, and I certainly wanted to talk about the snow removal process. Tomorrow, it looks like we're going to get bombarded again. Old Man Winter is never going to let us up, really. We know that. It could be April, and we're still looking over our shoulder waiting for a snowfall and everything.
Especially in April.
How are we looking this year, not just budget-wise, but with drivers, plowers, icers, these things? How are we looking in that department?
So the guys are out working, the crews are, and, you know, what we run into in some struggle, and there's been plenty of feedback about the side roads, how ice and bad they are, and, you know, on a nice day, why aren't we out cleaning up the side roads? And, you know, the last nice kind of stretch of weather we had, our street department guys were working midnight to noon, pulling out all the snow downtown. So kind of during that nice time, they were resting to get ready for the next pullout.
Yeah.
So that kind of got away from us. And but yeah, it's the side streets that we struggle with, and kind of ran some this morning, and they're much better today. But you know, they're trying to get salt down on there and take advantage of some nice weather coming. But yeah, our side streets we always struggle with. And I think, you know, people say go to this community and that community and drive down their side streets. Well, when you do, they still, every community struggles with side streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would like every one of our roads to be clear like the main roads are, but there's not enough money in the budget, there's not enough equipment, and there's not enough people to be able to do that all the time. Because it takes about 10 hours to plow the whole city, all the roads and everything. So, you know, it's just not feasible to do every single road, every single snowfall.
I think a lot of people can get to that thought. I think there's a lot of grown adults out there that don't act like children, that, you know, shake their fists in the air and why not me and all this stuff. I think, but what really helps is things like you just said there. It takes about 10 hours to you know, shovel the whole town and everything. Mm-hmm. Those kind of like stats, that helps, I think, people. I think that helps them realize a little bit more of that. And I got to think, too, that if you are, first off, if you've been in this state for more than a year, you understand what winter brings.
Right.
If you have been in this area for over a year and you've lived in this certain area, whatever, whether it's a tucked away area or it's on a main road, mm-hmm. you understand how this works. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of work around that. It's just life. As you said, we'd love to be able to do all these different things. We'd also love to be able to do this and this and this project and that kind of thing. You do what you can. But that part seems very challenging just for you, for the decision makers. Because it's one thing for us as citizens to say, hey, our road, or hey, our street, or this street over here where my uncle lives, or something like that. But you got to make that decision for everybody.
Yeah, and the council has adopted a snow policy, and so every year they kind of review it in the fall. And so, you know, if we're not happy with it, we can talk to our alderpersons. However, you know, I believe if that, and if I remember correctly, if it's 4 inches or more, we'll plow all the streets. If it's 2 inches, we'll only plow the main kind of road. So the thought process is that if you live in a subdivision or off the kind of beaten path, you can at least get to a main road relatively quickly, and then you'll have a clear driving spot. But it's kind of the numbers they use, and, you know, it's kind of a balance. And but yeah, I just think that there's just not enough equipment and people to plow every road every time. And
It's part of the reason why we appreciate so much citizens helping citizens. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see, you know, your elderly neighbor across the street, you could bring your plow over there and do it. We see that all the time, and it's greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. It never gets old to me seeing those things happen.
So now what I've noticed, you know, driving on some of the side roads today, is that people have frozen humps of plow at the end of their driveway because they went and plowed on a nice day, and then it froze solid. And so... Yeah, so now they've got to go over that. So it's kind of, then we hear complaints on that end, and so you never win on that.
And you're never going to. No. I mean, it's snow. Mm-hmm. It boggles my mind sometimes of the people who will push back on those things. And it's like, you realize you're 50-some years old. You've dealt with snow. You understand what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, Wisconsin's going to snow.
Yeah. We're all doing the best we can with this stuff, too. Mm-hmm. That's I think, needs to be considered as well.
Yeah, and just as we know, this weather this year, once again, is, it's crazy how warm it is out and how nice it is for January. But we'll see below zero yet, I'm sure.
I wanted to talk about the state's shared revenue with you. I know that's been a topic recently. Mm-hmm. Why has it been a topic recently?
Well, there's talks that there might be with the surplus that communities will see additional funding. There's also talks that they're trying to maybe look at the formula that they use to figure out shared revenue has not been updated. It's kind of archaic. And so, you know, those discussions are going on, trying to, you know, hopefully make it more equitable on people's portion of shared revenue and since it hasn't been updated. And yeah, and so now it's just kind of a lot of talk right now. I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to really kind of become of it. But for me, you know, I've been asked, you know, if we see any additional funding, you know, at this point, I'm not a big fluffy guy. I've always been I'm clearly known for that, not big wild projects. So any project, any extra money we get, I you know, roads or we need infrastructure, and we need to put into our roads and into a, you know, we've Paul Vollert and Joe Eichstead are working on a pavement replacement program. So with the transportation utility, degradation fees, and any other money we get, put it into mill and overlay and those kind of improving ride quality on roads that have great infrastructure yet, but the ride quality is really bad. And so working on, you know, earmarking those dollars for the worst roads. And so they've been evaluating and putting together a list of priorities on roads that need a pavement replacement or a mill and overlay type thing to get that money earmarked for those projects coming up this next year.
I think it's I know it's part of the reason why you were voted in twice, is that kind of thinking, and I also think that it's if you have a house and you buy a pool, the next summer you're not buying another pool. You've right. got a pool. You've already got that. Mm-hmm. I think that as far as like extracurricular things and stuff, our area has a good portion of that. You could always maybe use more or maybe tinker with something here. We mm-hmm. certainly have the dog park, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but. Once that stuff's kind of done, you got the pool, that kind of thing. Well, now let's go ahead and take care of the rest of the house. Mm-hmm. The siding's coming down, like those yeah. things. Like, so to have you in office and to be the kind of mindset you have with that, I think that it's necessary, especially coming out of a pandemic, which I know nobody likes that word. Nobody wants right. to talk about it. We moved on. We were out past the pandemic.
Yep.
We were just talking about prices and not knowing what price I order this, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be that price when I pay for it or whatever.
Exactly.
We're still dealing with the run of that and mm-hmm. the runoff of that. Mm-hmm. This stuff matters when it comes to, okay, well, how are we going to stay on budget, and how are we going to increase our budget next year? How are we going to stay in the black? You know, these things. Mm-hmm. All that stuff, I don't want to say anything about previous regimes or anything, but this is about now, and that's what we need right now, is we right. need those the checks and balances.
Absolutely. You know, each mayor, each representative, each governor, it's kind of about what we need now, and that's what people elect. And so I guess this is my time, and eventually, as I know and everybody know, my time will come to an end, whether it's on my own or the people decide that. But yeah, just for me, everybody knows me going into it. And there's people that think I'm not frugal enough, you know, so it's you're trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
And you know,
you just can't win.
No, you can't. But yeah, I'm just not going to spend. We're not in a position or a place to do a next great project. You know, I think infrastructure has really got to be our priority right now in our road system. And
I know recently, this was when you were first elected, and I want to say it was a couple of months in. Now that you said that, I think I did hear somebody say something along those lines, not like saying that because you had just gotten into office, mm-hmm. so they certainly weren't saying something that you were doing already, mm-hmm. but that they were a concern of that. Well, I said to him, like, if he's going to do these things, and you have the things that you said you were going to do, you have done them as far as infrastructure and focusing on a lot of that and getting the budget in balance and that. These are the things that you have done. You do those things, and that will bring people into town. That will keep people in town. You can have the greatest businesses. You can have Amazon in this town. And yeah, that'd be great, and jobs and all this stuff. How many people are going to live here if the roads aren't any good, if the schools aren't run well, if the roads aren't paved, you know, all these things. Amazon ain't coming to a town like that. Mm-hmm. So you really want those things to happen, you've got to take care of this stuff first. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That stuff is the real money maker. It doesn't take a lot of digging to find out what cities are growing and prospering and what ones aren't, and the differences of them. I've mentioned many times about the dogs and the dog park and everything, and again, we'll get to that in a second. But one of the major things that people are looking for is safety and safe roads and that kind of stuff. This stuff adds to that. I'm going to move to a town that is going to have those things much more likely than I am to a place that isn't.
Yeah, you know, we've been meeting with state engineers, and I've made phone calls to the governor's office. A Street has to be redone. It is to me and anybody that drives on A Street, and I even say even parts of the expressway are have hit their end of life, in my opinion. And so we've been working a lot with state engineers, and A Street will get done. It will get done hopefully within the next less than the next decade, but and we keep pushing to get that pushed up, but it will be getting done here. And it's just not fast enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and I every time we talk about it, I feel the frustration in your voice. I hate you. I don't like you being frustrated, sir. But I actually like that energy in you, though. Yeah, it's how it's going to get this done.
Well, I drive. We all drive to other communities, and you see road construction going on in our main roads, and you know those are connecting highways, and the state's involved in them, and it's like, you know, ours, I think, have been passed over long enough, and any chance I can get, I'm going to spew a little bit of spew and say that, you know, A Street needs to get done, and and it's overdue, and anybody that rides on it and falls in one of the craters there knows that it's long overdue. And even coming in by Tractor Supply, that black mastic is, it's good because it seals up the road, but it's just a rough ride, and it's just... we keep putting band-aids on a thing that is a gaping wound, in my opinion. And
do you are you hopeful about it getting done in the next couple of years? Or
I think 2028 we'll see a section of it done, and then shortly after that we'll see the other section done. So I'm hoping from city limits south to about Qdoba or to just by the expressway there that they'll be done. But I'm going to keep pushing. That'll be hopefully sooner than that.
Right on. I wanted to wrap up talking about the dog park.
Yes.
And the progress in that and everything, how that's going.
So I was spent probably an hour out there before I came here. Right. So walking around, they've done a bulk of the deadfall cleanup, and it's all kind of been windrows, and a company's coming in that does our chipping at our compost sites, and they're going to come in and chip that. And we kind of, it's arrangement. They come and chip it, and they take it away, and we don't get charged for the chipping and so the work. And so that's great. And Taylor here has done some drone footage when we first acquired the property to, or kind of made the plan to do a dog park there. And I believe today he's going to go out and fly it again. Really? So we're hopefully he's going to put together a presentation showing the transition. There's a gentleman out there today who's cutting the fence lines in through the woods and everything. He's got this piece of equipment, and so it's coming right along.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's it is. Really cool. I'm kind of walking around. It's really exciting. There's going to be a big open space. I think it's probably the large dog's about 7 acres and the small dog's a couple acres. And it's going to be a great space. They ran the water line the other day, so the line's in there because we're going to have water into that park. And then, you can see the fence line starting to develop when you're on the ground in there. And
It's an exciting thing for the community, for all of our dog owners, our dog lovers out there. And really, so my fur brother Sam listens to all these interviews, and he's been on me about this and wanting this dog park and everything, wants to go check out the dog park. I'm like, Sam, it'll happen. Just, you know, be patient. But dogs are not very patient.
No, and so inside the fence line, we're going to kind of leave inside space, which will ultimately, I think, become a walking trail. And so it'll be a nice walking trail that people will be able to walk on and then let their dogs just run. And I got to figure out how many times around the park it'll take. We figure 2 or 3 times it'll be a mile. And we see that becoming very popular.
What a great combination of things there. And it is not only exciting, but it's something for people to look forward to, especially as we're going through these colder months here and everything, having something to think about in the spring and the summer. That's really cool for our area. It's some great work. A big shout out to everybody that worked on this project.
Yeah, it's been definitely a team effort from our engineering, our street department, the construction crew. They were able to operate their heavy equipment and get out there and do a lot of good work. And yeah, it's fantastic. Our park and rec crews.
I wanted to mention to where I get a lot of my information and a lot of my questions for my interviews. I get from the city's website, and we encourage you to go there for any questions you might have. They've got a lot of other good things on there, especially wanted to make sure I mentioned the American Legion Post 9 and City of Wisconsin Rapids Veterans Honor Walk. They're looking for renewals.
Yep, that's one of the things on my list too, is that we want to make sure that everybody knows that they are taking renewals to do banners again this year along Grand Avenue. And it's a great event, and I think more importantly, the money raised there is used for veterans and veteran activities. So I think it's a very worthwhile cause, and absolutely, what a great way to kind of show off your family member and in this honor walk. So yes, that's out there.
The 2023 Veterans Honor Walk renewals, and more information you can find in about all the other subjects we've talked about today at wirapids.org. If people have follow-up questions, want to ask other things, how can they do that, sir?
You can always call my phone, 715-421-8202.
Always a good conversation. Looking forward to the next month already. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks, James.
Big thank you to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Thank you so much for the good work you guys do. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Morning Magazine here at WFHR. Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin system.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. 33 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. 33 tomorrow, snow showers likely. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this January 18th, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. here. I am joined by our good friend, Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Good to see you, Stephanie.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how have you been? How's the new year been to you?
Good. Good. Busy, but good.
Yeah, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at the Cultural Center, where there, I was just telling Stephanie, there's always stuff going on over there.
Yes.
I know when you guys are coming in, I never have to worry about filling time. There's always stuff to talk about.
And exactly.
I want to start off with just one of the cooler things that I think I've heard of, Stephanie, and I honestly, to be honest with you, I haven't gotten to look too deep into it. I was looking forward to you telling me a little about it and the audience about it, and it's the Mixed Media Artist Invitational. I want to go right there, start right with that.
Okay, so that is our next exhibit. The opening is this Friday from 5:30 to 7:30, and what it is the exhibit committee invited seven artists to exhibit their work, and mixed media means it's more than one medium at a time. So each artist uses more than one medium. It's not like one artist is watercolor, one artist is this.
Yeah.
It's that each artist uses various mediums to create their work.
Mm-hmm.
So we have seven artists. Many of them, the public will know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Kay Jasek, Aaron Nicholson, Mary Olson, Lori Tempest, Jeannie Weymouth, and Mark Zegon. So I as I've talked about previously, I was at the Cultural Center, left for a while, and now I'm back. And in all of my time at the center, I can say I think this is the neatest exhibit we've ever had. The exhibit committee has worked tirelessly on getting this put together. The hanging committee was in all day yesterday getting things set. And it is just really a great exhibit. It's very unique. And I think it's just cool the different things that were submitted. So like Mary Olson, many people know, does jewelry. And then we have totally on the other spectrum, we have Erin Nicholson. Oh, and I missed Ben Jennings. I'm sorry. Ben Jennings, who do more of almost an industrial type of art. So it's just one of these that you have to come in and see it to kind of appreciate it and understand it.
And, you know, first and foremost, one of the thing that we love so much about the Cultural Center is it does an amazing job of taking our local talent and giving them a showcase, giving them a place to take their work. That is above and beyond something that we love so much because it's part of us. It's us. It's us in the community. It's family members, community members, and neighbors, all that stuff that we get to see their work and celebrate the work. Something like this brings all those different mediums together, and you get this gigantic celebration of art, of life, of community, all at once.
Yes.
That is a pretty cool idea. That is a pretty fun thing to have.
Well, it's really neat to see all the different ways that you can express yourself. I think that's what really struck me, too, about this exhibit is just everybody's putting all their emotion and their feeling into their art, and they're all using different ways to do it. And I think it's inspiring because it's like, oh, maybe I could do something like that, or maybe that would be a good outlet for me. And then you have someone like Mark Zeigon, who a lot of people know has his work at Bison Trading Company out in the town of Rome, but also able to display with us. And he does really unique light fixtures. And we have them throughout the center. They'll be all lit up. It's just so cool. He uses like the fender off of a bicycle for one of them. Like, it just really, really neat ideas and unique things. And much of what is displayed will be available for purchase as well.
I think that's a nice thing to note, too. Yeah, the repurposing art that goes on, taking an old door and turning it into a table like that. I think that is some of the coolest art I've ever seen. I love that kind of stuff.
Yes, and that is playing a part in so many of these artists' work. Mary Olson does a lot of like recycled pieces. Jeannie Weymouth uses basically all things that she has. It's clay, it's paint, it's fibers, and makes these just beautiful, almost, I guess for lack of a better word, dolls out of them. And they all have a story. So it's just really cool to see.
You know, you mentioned a word there too, Stephanie, that I think is noteworthy and can be affect people, whether you're an artist or not, whether you're a creative or not. And side note, you are a creative. No matter what job you do, you're creative in that job. The inspiration aspect.
Yes.
The way that inspiration isn't something that you can always say, well, I'm going to be inspired now. I'm going to go ahead and do this to be inspired.
Right.
Often happens organically. And, and you're watching, you're looking at a lot of this work. And to me, it's one of my favorite thing about being around artists, in particular, like painters, sculptors, those kind of people. It's very different than the art I do. But I find them to be even more impacting for me and my work than maybe another writer or another actor.
Right.
Because they inspire me. They inspire me to work, to be better at my craft and what I want to do. And, and not so much in a competitive way, but in a collaborative way. It's just something that, again, you like Stephanie said, you really want to experience, you've got to be there to experience. You've got to see it in person.
Right.
There's a lot of great stuff you can look at online from the Cultural Center and find out a lot of great information, and certainly encourage you to do that. But you got to stop by the building. You got to be in the building to really experience some of this stuff.
Exactly. And this Friday at the opening, the artists will be there.
Cool.
So it'll be fun to talk with them, hear about, you know, how did their pieces come together. Also at that same time, so it's 5:30 to 7:30 on Friday, we are also, we have a retirement from our board of directors. Steve Kipfer is retiring, and anyone that is associated with Cultural Center probably knows Steve. He has been on the board for a very long time, was extremely passionate about the Cultural Center, and really is a vital element in the success of the Cultural Center. So we want to wish him well. He and his wife have moved north and have spent some time in Arizona. So we basically are saying, okay, fine, we'll let you off the hook. Exactly. But he just truly was a vital piece in getting the Cultural Center moved, getting the new building. I mean, he just, I don't know where we'd be without his passion, his community connections, and everything that he did for the center. So we're wishing him well at the same time. So again, it's Friday the 20th, 5:30 to 7:30. If you can't make that, the exhibit will be up through February 23rd. Our hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if you are not able to come during that time, or maybe you have a group that would like to see the exhibit and it's not during that time, give us a call. I take tons of appointments and am happy to show the exhibit by special appointment.
We're speaking with Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, and we were talking about mixed media. You mentioned that event. A lot of fun things coming up in the next couple of months here and in the beginning of the year. Are there projects or the things you guys are working on, Stephanie, where there are things that you're hopeful to be able to do in the new year, things you're looking forward to, like just different, like you guys are just kind of working on new stuff, right?
Yes, so we are
trying to ask that question without like putting you on the spot right. with details. Like, what are you doing in January?
Yeah,
what are you,
exactly. So we have a new offering for the Pottery Studio. It's a hand-built clay mug class. We have three different sessions. They are all filled. You know, we started with session one, which filled in like 10 minutes. So we went to session two, which also filled. So we then created session three, which is also filled. So, however, we have a new person leading our pottery studio, Mary Mertis. She's retired from the public school district, and she is extremely passionate and loving her involvement. And has she, I think she said the other day, I have ideas for 18 new classes. And I was like, oh, wow. So watch for that.
Yeah.
We're going to have lots of fun things happening there. So that is one of our newer developments. But we also have Open Pottery Studio on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 3 to 5 and 5:30 to 7:30. So it's kind of an open format. Mary is there to help guide. It's $15 an hour, includes your first bag of clay, and then also includes the glaze and the firing of your pieces. So you just need to call the Cultural Center to make a reservation, because we only have three pottery wheels, so we don't want to overbook.
I did want to also mention Artist's Coffee.
Yes.
It's a fun one that you guys do.
Yes, that is coming up. It's always the last Thursday of the month from 9 to 10:30. You do not have to be, I had someone say, well, I can't come because I don't have anything here. And that's not the case at all. Anybody that's interested in learning what artists are doing that is an artist, you are welcome to join us.
Because that's essentially what it is, artists getting together and conversating.
Exactly. Exactly.
And again, I will say this to the end of time, people. I don't care what job you do, what profession you're in, you are a creative.
Yes.
Whatever you do, you're being creative in your job. You're having to use your imagination. That's what we do as artists.
Right.
So you're welcome to come to these events and to jump in on the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Steph, let's go ahead, because there's some other things I want to get into, but I want to take our time with them. So why don't we take our break? We'll get that out of the way. We'll come back, and we'll have some more conversation with our good friend Stephanie Hartman from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 33. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 27 tonight, snow showers likely. Cloudy tomorrow, snow showers likely at times 33. 5 to 10 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine. Part two for this January 18th, 2023. We're speaking with Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Stephanie Hartman. Always good to have you in studio, Steph. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I wanted to get into the holiday show, kind of rewind a little bit here, because I know I heard from the community a lot of enjoyment, a lot of success with that. So let's recap that a little bit before we get too far ahead in 23.
Sure. So we had the holiday show November through December, right up till December 22nd, I think, was the last day. And I'm pleased to say it was the biggest holiday show revenue-wise that we've ever had. So very exciting. We had over $12,000 in sales. So, yeah, very exciting. And I'm always so excited for the artists because it is a really nice way for them to make some money. People always ask, how does this work? And it's like a consignment agreement. The cultural center keeps 30% of the sale, and the artist gets 70% of the sale. So we tally the sales throughout the show, and then we pay out the first part of January. We had over 55 artists, which is also exciting to know that in central Wisconsin, we have so many talented people that it's actually a little bit crazy. And we had different things this year. Charcuterie boards were a big seller. And never fear, we have some in our gift shop now, so you can stop in and purchase those. Jewelry was a big seller. I mean, really all different types of things. So it's just fun to watch what would catch each shopper's eye.
Yeah.
And then for them to say, oh, you know, this person must be from, you know, out of state. And for me to be able to say every single artist is from central Wisconsin, really the furthest away is like Madison or Wausau. Mm-hmm. So it's really concentrated in central Wisconsin, and we have a ton of talent here. It's incredible.
It's you mentioned 55 artists, mentioned all these things earlier when we were talking mixed media. You mentioned some big names that we know around here, creative in the creative world and everything. And I, with all that being said, we know there are people out there that we have no idea.
Exactly.
There's other creatives out there. There's other artists out there.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the mixed media project or any projects really going forward, or just if you have items and you want them displayed at the cultural center, are these things that you can do as an artist? Can I reach out to you and find out more about those things?
Yes, absolutely. It's almost like we talked about this earlier, but we didn't. Great segue, because our next exhibit after the mixed media is over is called Aspiring Artists. And our little tagline is ages 9 to 90 years young that have never displayed at the cultural center before, but they want to try it.
Nice.
So we will be asking for art to be dropped off March 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I know that March is like, oh, that's so far away. It's not that
far away. No,
so start creating, people.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening reception for that will be March 16th, 5:30 to 7:30. So again, we know there are people out there who say, oh, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, how would I ever even get my art displayed? Here's your chance. So stop in. We will very soon, we'll have paperwork ready. And we really want to encourage people in the community. We know there's more talent out there that people just aren't super comfortable sharing, or they don't know how.
Well, I think you're so right about those, Stephanie, and that's where we want to empower them, encourage them to take that step, to be brave and to reach out and to do those things. Just one other thing to add, because I think this, I only know this because I've run into it a couple of times here in this area, specifically once in Nakusa, once over in Port Edwards, and once here in Rapids, where I come across, and like, just for example, this older gentleman. I had known him for years, and I was actually going downstairs in his basement to help him with something. As we're going down the steps, I see a wall of little wood carved animals. And I'm like, these things are awesome. These things are really cool and everything. It's like, yeah, I do that on the side.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, what? You've been doing this? I've known this guy for years, and he's been doing this. He just never told really anybody. He's just got it's just a little hobby that he likes to do. Now that's great, and if that's the way you want to keep doing that, mm-hmm. that, no problem with that at all. Art is just meant to be done. It's not meant to necessarily be seen by everybody. But an artist's tendency is to share their work, and yes. you may not even realize you're an artist.
Exactly.
But you are. It's something to think about, maybe sharing those kind of things with the community, because while you may enjoy it, maybe your family, your friends enjoy it, think about how good it feels when you can make strangers happy.
Yes. And that's funny because it's very similar to a story from the holiday show. Mm. We had an individual come in and he said, you know, I don't really think these are great, but I have so many people say, gosh, you should be selling those, you know, blah. And he said, would you be interested in looking at them for the holiday show? And the show had started already, but I was like, hey, you know, we can always add more. So he said, they're trees. They're just little wooden trees that I carve. And I said, awesome, bring them in.
Yeah.
It was one of our biggest sellers. People got like, oh my gosh, I heard about the trees. I'm going to come see the tree. And they, you know, they weren't big. They were 6 inches to 12 inches, but just really cool. He just had a really cool technique, and they were just very cool. And we sold a lot of them. We have a couple left in our gift shop. But it's a perfect example. He almost was like, you know, just, well, they said I should bring them in, but I didn't.
Kind of like dragging them into it.
Exactly, exactly. So that was fun to see his success.
That actually brings up another great point, I think, Stephanie, especially when we're talking to people who are reaching out about being an artist or that you're an artist or sharing your art. We tend to, in everything in life, well beyond art, be our own harshest critic.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when it comes to art and creating something. And in case the audience isn't aware of this, just to share a little secret with everybody, every like confident artist you've ever seen struggles with the same thing.
Absolutely.
You're not alone in that. I know very few people who are great at what they do creatively who don't also struggle with, oh, all my work is horrible.
Yes.
Like
it
gets to feel that way. So chances are you might be being a little harsher on your, oh, that's not art, or what I do is silly, or whatever, like this gentleman with the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's awesome. That's art. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. And I find myself, and I always hope I'm not offending the artist, because, you know, they'll say, well, I know this isn't great, but, and I like bust out laughing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because that's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
This piece is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, artists especially are their worst critic.
So this next exhibit that's coming up, that is the focus. That is getting newer artists into the cultural side.
Yep. And again, you know, we know of folks who have been painting for 50 years and have never shown their work. You know, they might be in their 70s and they just say, well, I'm not good enough, but my house is covered in it.
Yeah.
And they have people saying, why aren't you showing this somewhere? Mm-hmm. Now this is your chance. And we want to really inspire the younger generation. We know that sometimes it's hard in the schools. I mean, they're trying to do so much that they don't have that outlet sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a chance for young artists to show their work. We'd love to have their submission.
Yeah, I think that is great. Just piggybacking on that, kids seeing adults be creative makes them feel more comfortable being creative themselves.
Absolutely.
And if they feel more comfortable being creative, chances are they feel more comfortable in their skin, they feel more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good for not only the youth in them, but all of us, because again, they are the future. They are going to take over one day. We should probably work on those things.
Exactly.
Seems like a good thing to build their confidence
it
up
does.
And to make them feel good about these. And as somebody who, going from a city like Chicago and coming out here, it was a culture shock, and mm-hmm. part of that was the artistry.
Yep.
Now, when I first come out here, I think, well, where's the culture? Where's the art? Those things. Because I just moved here. I didn't know people. I didn't know things. It doesn't take very long to realize this area is just as filled with artists and creatives as in any major city or anything like that.
Absolutely.
I think the big difference is so many people, going back to what we were talking about before, don't even look at themselves as an artist.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And that's what we want to do, is inspire people to share your talents with us.
Yeah.
Whether it's by taking a class or you try to be in the next exhibit, it's totally up to you. But it is fun to watch people kind of blossom. We have an individual that comes to pottery. She's a high school student, and she has just, like, the stuff she is creating is incredible. Mm. And she comes to Open Pottery on a regular basis, and the pieces she's making, and you can just see her smiling, like, this is so great. And it's been fun to watch her blossom as well. So just take that opportunity, try a class, try Open Pottery Studio. Get out the paintbrushes, but we want to encourage everyone to have that creative outlet.
With the next exhibit, if I am an artist that hasn't been there before and I want to get a hold of you, how can I do that?
Sure. We'll have it on our website for right, one. Right. Absolutely. And that's culturalcenterarts.com. You can stop in the center during our business hours. You can email. Our email is on our website as well. So there'll be a number of ways. But if all else fails, give us a call. If we're not there, we'll return your call. And our number is 715-421-4598.
We'll probably give that information again in a couple minutes as we wrap up. But I did want to touch on a couple of other things before we let you go, Stephanie. You kind of already set me up here. I wanted to make sure to mention the classes, that there are music lessons, pottery studio, other classes available for people to not only continue your education or learn about something that you've always wanted to do, but just have some fun. Just get out of the right house. It's winter.
Yes,
I mean, that's what
exactly
we're looking for here.
Exactly. So again, Open Pottery is every Tuesday and Wednesday. We're offering the mug class, which again is full, but we'll be offering more sessions of either that class or we're going to do a new class in February, March. The mosaic window class has started, but again, we'll be looking for some new offerings in February and March in that classroom, as I call it. And then artist coffee. And then we also, if you don't want to be creating art, but you'd like to listen to some mm-hmm. inspiring music, we do have Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor on the first and third Thursday of the month. That's always hard for me to say. First and third Thursday of the month from 3 until 5. And that is just super fun jazz music and a couple jokes here and there and some storytelling. And they're just a hoot to listen to.
I love that, man. I love that band.
Yes.
I could talk to them literally all day. I could talk to Pete at least a half a day just on stories,
absolutely,
let alone music and all those other things.
He has such a great background, and he's just wildly talented.
As good as he is on the keys, he's just as good MC. He's just as good carrying a conversation or being a host up there, as well as a musician. Like,
right.
I every time I'm around that guy, I'm more blown away. And it's just something. I encourage you to check that out. What days are those again?
So the first and third Thursdays, so that means tomorrow from 3 until 5.
And when we were talking about classes, music lessons, pottery studio, those sorts of things, there are so many things. Stephanie and I don't have nearly enough time to talk about all the different stuff that's available. But I did want to mention, as we are encouraging artists to reach out and be a part of this next event or maybe future mixed media things, anything really at the Cultural Center, we're also looking for people that want to share that art, like as far as the learning how to do that art and teachers and that.
Yes, we are looking for instructors. So if you have an idea for a class, or maybe you do something regularly that people say, oh, you should teach that, reach out to us. We would be very interested in talking with you. Our instructors are paid. Many people think they're volunteers. Mm. They're not. They're paid hourly. They're paid for prep time, and the Cultural Center purchases all the supplies, so that cost does not fall to the instructor. So we would love to chat with you. So reach out to us, and we'll explore that option.
My daughter is an author, and she's, you know, gotten in. She's been doing this for a little while now. She had a couple sales recently of her ebook,
and
was so excited, and it meant so much to her, and it was. It felt better to me than if I had sold something. Like it,
right.
It meant more, and it felt more hearing it from her. And it made me think of the interview today and stuff, and reminded me about the gift shop at the Cultural Center.
And
how great it is not only to have these unique, awesome items there that are great for birthdays, anniversaries, you know, all these mm-hmm. things. What it means for an artist to sell their work.
Exactly.
I mean, certainly dollars and cents add up and they help, and especially if you're, a surviving artist. I know what that's like.
Right.
But it's bigger than the money. It means more than that. If anything, it has the money that you pay and all that, and then the taxes, the good feeling that you get, not just from selling your work, but you, the consumer, buying a local product, putting back into your community.
Absolutely. And we hear all the time, there's no place in Rapids to buy unique gifts. And we have them.
Yeah, they're all there.
They are. In the gift shop, I mean, that's probably another... Some overlapping, but another 50 mm-hmm. or so artists. So it's a really great opportunity for individuals to come in. And again, the gift shop is open anytime that we're open. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Again, if it's something you really want to stop in and see and you can't make it during that time, I'm at the center a lot, so just let me know and we can create an opportunity for you to step in.
You can find out more by going to their website, culturalcenterarts.com. That's culturalcenterarts.com. Stephanie, if people have other follow-up questions or want to know more about any of these things,